Right in the middle of it all, there is Jesus. It's amazing, because without Him, we can do nothing. Let me say that we're so thankful that Debbie is back with us today. Debbie had some pretty bad surgery. She not only had a hip replacement, but she had some tears that had to fix. And I understand that's where the big pain has been. And I think a couple, 3 days ago, she finally thought she's going to make it after all that. She'd been through so much pain. And pain is a bad thing. Somebody said pain is a good thing. Pain is something sometimes that warns us that something is wrong. But I want to tell you, pain is still hurtful, and it is definitely not a good thing in my book, because I don't like to have pain. Do you? I really don't. Memorial Day weekend. Got some things I want to talk about today, and if you want to stand, we'll read you a couple of verses of scripture, a few. I've got 14 down here, but I probably won't read them all. Just read a couple or three, maybe. And then we'll go back to some of this maybe a little bit later. Memorial Day is, before I get started, is a very important day. It's a very important time. It's a time of remembering, is it not? Exodus 12 begins with verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Gibeah and the sea, and against Baal Zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And then it goes on, verse 4, and says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he should follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they do so. Let's pray before you're seated. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for those that chose to be in your house. Thank you, God, because we know what a great and a wonderful and merciful God you are. And we're asking this morning, Lord, that you bless each one. Help us, O God, that we can understand better how to remember and, Lord, not forget some of the miraculous things that took place over a period of time. And we're asking this morning, Lord, that you bless those that are here, bless the ones that are not, bless those that are remembering today, wherever they might be. God, that you help us, that we can continue remembering the Son of God. In Jesus' name, and the church says, as I said, Memorial Day is remembering the shed blood for our freedom. With a year to go before the touching the water, the Navy's assault ship, USS New York, had already made history. It was built with 24 tons of scrap steel from the World Trade Center. The USS New York was about 45% complete, and it had already launched into back in 2007, and Katrina disturbed construction when it pounded the Gulf Coast that summer. And but the 684 foot vessel escaped serious damage, and the workers were back on the yard near New Orleans 2 weeks after the storm. It is the 15th It is the 15th in a new class of warship designed for mission that included special operations against terrorists. It would carry a crew of 360 soldiers, 700 combat ready Marines to be delivered ashore by helicopter and assault crafts. It would be fit if the first mission of this ship would go and make sure that bin Laden is taken out. And we know that bin Laden was taken out. And these groups that infested and tried to destroy the United States and a lot of things. And it came in the back way, knocking down the towers. And the New York is coming right back the front door, and we want them to know that. Steel from the World Trade Center was melted down in a foundry in Amlet, Louisiana, to cast a new ship's bow section. When it was poured in the mount, in September, those big, rough steel workers treated it very totally with reverence, recalling the Navy Captain, Kevin Wingsing, who was there. It was a spiritual moment for everybody there. And some of these people, as they came by and they saw this steel coming in, one man said that he touched his hand to the steel and the hair actually stood up as he touched this steel. It was a big meaning, too, and it was all for us, he said. They kicked us down. They can't keep us down. We're going to be back. And the ship's motto was, never forget. And this is what I want to talk to you about. So some may take the motto, never forget, also as holding a grudge. Well, sometimes there's difference in holding a grudge and getting even. Can anybody say amen? But I want to focus on the thought that if we forget our past or what has happened, then it's very likely that history will repeat itself. So once we've been hit by the enemy, we must understand that we need to re-strengthen our guard and our protection and make sure that this never happens again. Just a few weeks ago, or maybe just a few days ago, I'll put it that way, there was four Russian bombers that were too close to Alaska, and some of the U.S. MiGs intercepted them, and they put them scatting back toward home where they belong. But they were testing the water, no doubt. And it's not just Russia. It's not just one country. It's a lot of countries is testing the water to see how close they can get in missile range so they can bring harm to the United States of America. But today, I just want to say that our freedom is something that we have to fight for. We have to always stand for, and we can never let our guard down. Not just our freedom in America, which costs so very much that we can be right here today and have our freedom and our liberty to worship. But when we think about our sons and our daughters and all of these that have sacrificed so much, that they have lost family members and they've lost sons and daughters and husbands and mothers and fathers for the freedom which we enjoy right here at the Ravenna Church of God this morning. So I want to tell you, folks, we are blessed. We have, you may say, what freedom? Well, it don't look like we have any freedom. We have freedom of religion, freedom of worship, and this is the thing about it, and the freedom. So what God wants us to do, and we feel like that he wants us to do, we have the liberty to do that. Our flag stands for the freedom that we each enjoy today. And our flag stands for those who have given their lives to sacrifice so you can stand and say, hey, you can say you disagree or whatever, but I want to tell you, not only does the American flag stand for the freedom as a country, but also the Christian flag, as we saluted both just a little bit ago, stands for the freedom we enjoy as Christians. So the Christian flag is also a flag that's very important. We take it lightly sometimes about the flag and all the things, but it's different from every other flag. It's religious. It's secular. It may be secular. You may think it is ancient or whether it's modern. And it's unconditioned. It's independent. And it's universal, unlike the all national flags. And it all demonstrates the flags of the various churches. And it has no earthly bound or alliance. But Christ and Christ alone is the master or the reason for this. Without litigation, it exists for all the world people, regardless of sex, race, national boundaries, economic conditions, affiliate, or popular popularity thing, or whatever it might be, for poverty, or political, or slavery, or freedom. But it can't be restricted by any nation or denomination. It's unique. And I want you to notice something that is so important about the Christian flag also. And not are we taking anything away from our stars and stripes. Because I want to tell you something. Our flag stands and it waves, and we call it Old Glory because of the freedom that we have today. And it is wonderful and magnificent. And I'm so grateful and thankful that we live in a country that we can see our flags waving in the air. Yes, there's flag burners. Yes, there's people that does things to our flag that really hurt us deep. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of ignorant people in the world when it comes to freedom and liberty, and devilish people, and we just need to ignore them, look over them, because they don't know any better. They need to get saved, in my opinion. Can anybody say amen to that? So for those who want their freedom, it's something. Now notice the Christian flag is one of the oldest unchanged flags in the world. It was conceived at a long time ago at Brighton Chapel in Coney Island, New York, Sunday, September the 26th, back in 1897. It was presented in its presented form of following the Sunday by its organizer. And on that day, the Christian flag was born. Now, notice something about the Christian flag. This is a little education that might help you just a little bit. The white of the flag represents purity and peace. Think about this. This is a Christian flag. But blue stands for faithfulness, truth, and sincerity. And then there's a red. Of course, the color of sacrifice. In this case, calling it to mind the bloodshed by Christ on Calvary, represented by the flag. So when we think about this, and the first pledge to the Christian flag was written by a Methodist preacher a long time ago, and his name was Leon Harold Holt. And then back in 1908, he wrote this, and this is what we just went through a while ago. I pledge allegiance to the flag, Christian flag, and so on without repeating it. And we think about these, and we think about our flags, and we think about what is represented. And sometimes we look at the flags and we think, well, you know, are they that important? Why do we need flags? Why do we need this? I want to tell you something, folks. We need to remember who we are. We're in a free nation. We're in a nation that fears God. Oh, sure, you're always going to have those that disagree, but hey, if they don't like America, the best thing I can tell them is adios, amigos, get on out. Hey, there's other countries that'll accept you. There's people trying to climb walls. There are people trying to break through places just to get into America. Why? Because it's a land of freedom. It's a land of promise. It's a land of great wealth. And it's a place that there's work, there's jobs and all of this. People say, I can't find a job. Well, I want to tell you, you can't find a job if you don't look for one. You got to desire one. This is a land that God has made a land of plenteous. It's a land of prosperity. And it all boils right back to some of these wonderful soldier boys that are right here in our midst this morning as they've stood and they fought for our freedom. And they've declared, hey, We may get knocked down like the World Tower, but we're coming back, and we're coming back stronger than ever before. We may get a little beat up in the battle sometime, but I'm telling you, folks, we are coming back. Same way as we are with Christians, Christian people. We get battled down, beat down sometimes, and we think, oh, how awful it is. How much more can I take? How much more can I stand? But when you think about what Jesus stood and did for us, when you think about all the bloodshed and all the things that he did just to have our freedom and our liberty and save our soul for a better prepared place than this earth down here. Now, I want to tell you, this earth is a beautiful place. God created it. That's why it's beautiful. But mankind has come along, and he has made it ugly in a lot of cases. Started a lot of ugly stuff, and stuff that should have never been even started, and all this. And this is led by the devil and his little tormenting angels and all of this. But Jesus made it possible that even though this beauty of the earth that we have, and you say, now the earth is not beautiful. I beg your pardon. You look around, open your eyes, and I tell you what, we have some of the prettiest singing little mockingbirds. They sing to us every single morning. They get up on the electric line or the pole, and the other get on down, and they just take turns singing. And I think, how beautiful this is that even the little birds is singing good morning to us. And Sister Gordon said she thought that one was saying pretty boy or pretty bird or something or other. And I thought, well, what was it? Pretty something anyway. It don't matter. But anyway, they're saying good. But there's a lot of wonderful things in this earth. And this is why, folks, that we can live our life out. And I know that there are a lot of times that we have to guard ourselves, protect our homes, shield ourselves, and make preparations in case some enemy decides they want to break in your house and all of this. But listen, folks, it doesn't matter, because if we're ready to go, God's going to take us on out. He's going to get us out of here, because it's wonderful and it's mighty and it's a great and a wonderful thing. But getting back to the scriptures, here we see that God instructed the Jews to have a feast and every year to remember this great works that he did back in Egypt. Now, I want to tell you, folks, it's a great and a wonderful thing that God did, because he brought the children of Israel out. They had been in bondage for around 400 plus years, and they had been in slavery, and a lot of them had gotten used to going to work, having a whip taken to their back, and all of this. But there came a time that people's cry went up to God, and God looked out and he spoke to Moses. Moses had already fled and run for his life, but he was back on the back desert, and he saw this burning bush, and it wasn't consumed. It just burned. And then there's a voice came out, and he talked to Moses, and Moses tried to make every excuse that he could to keep from going back. One thing is, hey, he murdered a guy, buried him in the sand, and he left, and he ran for his life. Well, it had been a long time. It had been about 40 years, but God spoke to him and told him to go back and to lead the children of Israel out. Well, I can't do that, God. I can't speak very well and all of this. How many times do we make excuses when God tells us to do something? But we need to understand, folks, hey, with God's help, we can do all things. So he had Moses to go back. He said, okay, Moses, I'll send Aaron, your brother. He can speak well. He don't stutter. Or he don't have a broken language or anything. I'll just send him with you, and everything will be all right. Well, he finally agreed to go. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. That's kind of like we are sometimes here in America. We have places that God will lay upon our heart. Did you ever wake up in the morning and be somebody just bearing on your mind? You couldn't seem to get away from it. You thought, I need to see that person. I need to talk to that person. I need to pray for that person. I just need to visit that person. Well, that feeling is so strong and so powerful. But then as the day goes along, you get real busy. You kind of push it in the back of your mind. And then God will remind you another time or two maybe. And you think, well, God, I'll do that tomorrow. It'll be okay. Or they don't need anything anyway. God, you know they're in good health. You know they're not sick. You know they don't even need anything. So why in the world should I go visit that person? But I want to tell you something. When God lays it on your heart, there's a reason, a definite reason, and we need to obey God. Can anybody say amen to that? So God is a wonderful God, is he not? He is so great. God will provide a way of protection for his people. Now, sometimes we wonder about this, but he tells them to sacrifice a lamb and to put the blood of the lamb over the door and the side post of the door. He tells them that, and he makes a promise. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He sent a death angel, and that death angel went through. And in about midnight, as the death angel went through, you hear the screams and the cries, because the Egyptians' firstborn, even their sons and their daughters, they were all dead. Even their cattle and their herds, the firstborns, were dead. There was something that took place, and God said, but if you just do what I tell you, and this is what we need to do as Christian people, we need to do what God tells us to do. Well, I don't think I need to really do this, God. It wouldn't make me any better or no more powerful or whatever. Yes, it will make you a better person if you listen to God. And he said, when I see the blood, and when he sent the angel, death angel around, and he saw the blood, he said right there, he said, hey, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. And this is the way that we are today. Did you realize that there is a death angel out there? Did you know that that death angel is going through the land? Did you realize that? There's times that we wonder, how in the world is this happening and all of this? But I want to tell you something, folks. God is going to let that death angel pass by our house until the time comes, it's time for us to go home. And then it's time for us to go home. That's well and good. But the good part about it is, he brought the children of Israel out, and Pharaoh thought sure that he was going to let them go. But then God did something that I thought was really remarkable in a way. God hardened his heart. You know, he would go in there, and the 10 plagues that Moses showed them, and all these plagues, I'm not going to all of them, but the thing about it is, when these plagues come, he would say that he was going to let them go. But then God, now notice this, God would harden Pharaoh's heart. And I read this over and over, and I thought, well, now God, if he's going to let him go, why would you harden his heart? Well, I want to tell you something. For over 400 years, they have punished, they have worked, they have made slaves out of his people, and he's going to teach Pharaoh a lesson. He's going to not teach him one lesson. He's going to teach him a lot of lessons before he finally lets him go. Frogs in their water. Their blood, the water turned to blood. And all these other things. And the thing that we just need to understand is, God was teaching him a lesson that he would never forget. But even though the last thing, they finally said, get on out of here. In other words, you've been here, now go. Take your children, take whatever you have, and get on out of here. Because, hey, in other words, what he's really saying is, God, I can't take another plague. Now my firstborn son has died. Now the firstborn of all the people have died. All the firstborn of the stock and all of this. So get on out of here. But then as they fled, God hardened his heart one more time. God hardened his heart, and now he's going after him again. going to overtake them. In other words, what he had in mind was going to overtake them, just going to wipe them out or bring them back and make slaves out of them again. But God had already released them, and they were out there, and this is like us. Hey, we're under bondage to sin, but once we accept that shed blood on the cross of Calvary, we're no more under bondage of that sin because Jesus paid the price. But here they are, and one more time, God hardens old Pharaoh's heart. Here they are to the Red Sea. Now Moses is all wondering what's going to happen now. Their backs to the, they're facing the sea, and then behind them is something else. It's the enemy. It's Pharaoh and his chariots and his soldiers and all of this. So God said, Moses, stretch your rod over the Red Sea. And when he did, it just parted. And there was a wind that started blowing. It blowed all night long and dried up the seabed. And they went through on dry ground. But then, here he comes, Pharaoh and all these armies are going to take them back for sure. And he sees all of this roll back and he thinks, well, look at here, they went through it, I can go through it too. But God had a trap set. He'll only let the enemy torment us so much, and he's going to step in. And this is what happened. He stepped in. And here they are out in the sea. The horses, the chariots, soldiers, and all of this. Then he speaks to Moses again and said, stretch your rod out over the sea again. And when he stretched the rod out, all of a sudden this water comes crashing in on the enemy and destroys the soldiers and the ones that's after them. This is the way we are sometimes. We're fighting battles. We don't know why we're fighting the battle. We don't understand how in the world could this battle happen. We can't figure out why in the world God allowed this battle to happen. But sometimes God teaches us a lesson. God shows us how good he really is. And this is why that we don't understand fully sometimes, but we've still got to remember that he is in charge. God is in charge of his army. Can you just say amen? Let me give you another illustration. Back in April 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons who served during the Civil War as Confederate soldiers, an elderly woman also decorated two mounds at the corner of the cemetery. The observer asked, "What are you doing? Those are graves of the Union soldiers." Her reply was, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother of the or a young wife mourn for those that have gone." And this lady and a few others set in motion that what was known as Memorial Day. This is one custom that we hear about. And then the custom of placing flowers on the graves was also a war that began May the 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of the Memorial Day. In 1868, there was a general named John A. Logan, then the president of that great army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be the day to decorate with flowers and graves of comrades who died in defense of their country, sharing during this time of rebellion. So after World War I, the day was set in honor of the American War, and the custom was extended to pay homage to deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilians. So there was a provision, meaning a sacrifice. There was promise also of sacrifice. And then there was promptly remembering the sacrifice. Folks, we just need to understand, when we walk to the cemetery and we look over, there is a tombstone or a headstone. There is somebody that this is to where we can remember that they were buried there. And many, many of our soldier boys, and I can't get into a lot of stuff because it's too heart-touching this morning about a lot of soldiers, and I don't want to get too deep, but I want to tell you, a lot of them have seen so much and done so much that they see all of this, and it is a time of remembering. It's a provision of sacrifice. They see the sacrifice and all of this, and the things that they had went through and gone through and for our liberty. But just like the lamb, without the shedding of blood, the first year, you should take it out from the sheep and from the gates. And the lamb was supposed to be without blemish and without within the first year of born. So then Hebrews 9:14, I'm coming to close if you want to come to the music. And notice what it says in Hebrews. And it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spiritual offering himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Without spot or without blemish, this is what we need to understand. Jesus was without spot. He was without blemish. But what happened to him? Hey, he gave his life willingly that we could have what we have today. So I want to say, and I honor you, soldier, you soldiers. Hey, I'm telling you, you have give what you had, and you gave it for our country. God gave the best he had also, and that was the Son of God for our freedom and liberty. So today we're a blessed people. We're Americans. Can anybody say amen to that? We're a land of free. We're a land that God has blessed and prospered all through the years. He's blessed. Yes, we've seen a lot of disasters hit, like Katrina that I was talking about, and just like earthquakes and all these storms and tornadoes that's happening out in Oklahoma and flooding and all of this. We see all these disasters, but I want to tell you, God is still, he's still the God of America, one God. He's our God. He is a God that we trust. He's a God that protects us and shields us. Sure, things happen and a lot of things we don't understand. We may never understand, but I want to tell you, God brings us through them, and he'll bring us through whatever it is you're facing today. So I want to tell you, folks, hey, if the Son made you're free indeed. But if you're not free, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. So if you're not free and you haven't given your life to that precious Jesus, today is one of the best days that you could ever been right here today, because you can't deny our liberty, you can't deny our freedom, you can't deny what took place a long time ago. Mothers that decorated somebody's son's graves that they didn't even know, but they knew it was some mother's child or some wife that lost her husband. I want to tell you, folks, as we face this time of memorial, remembering the time, and this is a Memorial Day weekend that happens, and a lot of people commercialize it, and they never even stop long enough to thank our soldier boys for what they did. But what about Jesus also? Do we stop and take time to think about him and all this shed blood that he lost for us? So if you're not covered by that blood of Jesus, if you're not saved, and you know you're not saved, you say, well, I think I'm saved, I might be saved, maybe I'm saved. Well, I want to tell you right now, quit arguing the point. You're not saved. You know it when you're saved. Praise God. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to worry about it and ask somebody, because you're saved. And today, we're saved by the blood of Jesus that's shed on the cross of Calvary, the forgiveness of our sins. And this is what it is today. Would you stand all over the building if you're able, please? What a great God we serve. What a wonderful Savior we have. I'm touched today, and I'm tender because I think about all these men and women in the military, all kinds of different branches, what they gave for us. If you know a military person, a veteran, you shake their hand and say, thank you. Say, thank you. You paid a great price. But also never forget to thank Jesus. Jesus, I thank you. You paid a great price. God, your Son, paid a great price for our freedom. It'd be a good time to come and just recommit yourself to the Lord or whatever's needed. But it'd be a good time just to come and gather around the altar and say, hey, God, I thank you for making it possible that we could be here today. Come on, anyone that would.